welcome to the Fertility Conversations podcast. The goal of this podcast is to create more awareness about infertility and to provide support to people trying to conceive. Thank you for listening today, and we hope you will be encouraged. And now, here is your host, Ola.
Welcome to episode 6. Today I have with me a lovely guest, Ajike Shola Adini. She's married and blessed with a handsome young boy, and she lives in Nigeria. She's an infertility advocate, raising awareness about secondary infertility with a focus on the mental and emotional impact that secondary infertility has. You can connect with her on Instagram at @NigerStayAtHomeMom, and her details will also be on the show notes. So welcome, Ajike, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So to start off, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay, my name is Ajike Shola Adini. I live in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm married and I have a young son. Mm-hmm. And my life stumbled me into the infertility journey. Right, so I won't say it wasn't really my plan, you know, I just went that way. I suffered primary infertility and secondary infertility, and it's the emotions I went through the first time and the second time, they're similar yet different, and it just made me understand that a lot of people don't understand infertility, because I didn't know the statistics. I think later on I got to know like maybe 1 in 4 people suffer infertility. So that means There are still more people having children who don't suffer infertility. So more people do not understand infertility. They don't just get it. And they don't understand your emotions. They don't understand What you're going through. So I had to bring myself out there for people to know that there's someone speaking about it, and your journey, your pain is valid. Your tears Are okay. And you can always reach out. I'm here. We can talk about this.
Rightfully said. Yeah, so well said that you said that your pain is valid and your emotions are valid. Now, you noted earlier that primary infertility and secondary infertility, for those that are listening that might not know the difference, can you tell us a little bit about what primary infertility is and what secondary is?
Primary infertility is when, you know, maybe initially after marriage, you begin to say, okay, I want to have a baby.
Right.
And, you know, you don't have a baby. But secondary infertility is when after having a child, And you can't go on to have another. Okay. And I would say both are painful. Both are very, very painful. But, you know, secondary infertility adds an extra burden because you feel guilty for having one and wanting more.
Right.
There's guilt that comes with secondary infertility. And that's another reason why some people don't understand. They feel you should be grateful. You already have one. What is all this? Some people have waited 20 years. They just, even just one, they'll be okay. Are you here? But my answer to people like that is, you who is speaking to me at the moment has 4 children. Why didn't you stop at one?
Right.
You have 2 children. You know, it's so amazing to me to see people. I have friends that will tell me, I want to get pregnant next month. And believe you me, they'll get pregnant. So you're not wondering, you're asking yourself, how? How does this happen? My journey in fertility started that way. I moved from Abuja to Lagos and I started working in a new company. And me had some new intakes, we were there. And you know, we had to be sure of our confirmation. So Our confirmation was going to come like 6 months later. And this group of ladies just said, our confirmation will be in June. Let me try and get pregnant by February so that by November I would have been confirmed and I can start my maternity leave. I didn't think of this as anything because I just got married in November before.
Right.
And behold, February, she was pregnant. Wow. I started looking at it's like, is something happening here? There was another woman. The office was in a shopping complex. So I made friends with a woman. And she had a baby I think she had like a 6 months old, and her husband was already fighting her for not getting pregnant again.
At 6 months old, with a 6 month old baby?
Oh. Yes, yes. He was already fighting her again. So by the time this boy was like 9 months, she was already pregnant again. So I now started wondering that I think there's something wrong. There's something wrong. So that's where I now started. We did all the tests. They said everything was fine. Your husband is super. And from there, okay, you are ovulatory. You have PCOS. You have high prolactin. You know, the story just became worse every time we went to the hospital. And, you know, family pressure. My own family, they were supportive. My husband's family too, but, you know, some of his siblings or maybe his brothers, you know, they felt, you know, they begin to put all this, go and test yourself kind of situation, go and help yourself, go and see if you are a man, go and see if you are, you know, where woman will not, she won't have the baby, she will just abort it, you know. Luckily, I stumbled on things like that, and I was, you know, I wasn't mature like this. It's really, I was ready to walk away from my marriage. It was that serious. I was ready to walk away. But, you know, luckily, we were able to salvage the situation. And I think, you know, God just, maybe, God just stepped in. My husband just, you know, maybe, I don't know if he didn't walk home. Or maybe, I don't know what the case. Along the line, I just said, okay, I did everything. I did everything possible. But, you know, funny enough, luckily for me, I got pregnant spontaneously. I didn't have to do anything. I actually threw away all my meds because I was beginning to have too many headaches, blinding headaches, raging headaches. If I could just ask me, how are you? I can start shouting, why are you asking me, how am I? Don't I look fine? Do I look crazy? Then, you know, I was beginning, so I threw all my meds away and wanted to start IVF. Luckily, I just got pregnant spontaneously.
Wow.
So I had my son.
That must have been amazing. Yeah.
Honestly, as in, I can't even talk about it. The feeling for that would be story for another day. You know, so I had my son in 2013. I married in 2008. I had him in 2013.
All right, then, after 5 years.
Yes. So I was just happy that I had this child. I wasn't even really bothered anymore. Then my husband now started. I want another child. Fine, I wanted another, but I just felt okay. I had gotten pregnant by myself. It will happen again. It didn't happen. We've been everywhere. Then I developed fibroids. From the fibroids, we moved to scarring. I've removed the fibroids. Now I moved to scarring. From scarring, I moved to hydrosalpinx. Yes, hydrosalpinx.
All right, in the tube.
Water in the tube. I moved to hydrosalpinx. Moved, you know. So for me, the way people, like I said, the way they treat you when it comes to sexual infertility, it's a bit different. It can actually be very insulting. Like, the first time, at least, you don't have any kids. The second time, when you don't produce, when you don't have another child, you begin to see people say, is that first one gone? Is it for our husband? Are you sure?
Wow, really?
Are you sure? People love women. Yeah, people say that. Or you hear people tell you things like, this baby, you have only one child. What if something happens to the child? What if something just happens?
Oh, my.
You too, what will happen to your... I've seen families that all of them perished in one day. So who said it cannot be your own portion? Because they're asking me these stupid questions. You know, because for me, I am able to speak out. Everybody has that capacity to be bold. I am quite bold. I'm not telling you, like, I've been able to fight my infertility journey because I am bold and I really don't care whose ox is gold. And I wasn't like that. But infertility and... people's insensitivity have hardened me over the years and made me like, if you say something, I'm going to say something back to you. Right. Luckily, my son is his father's, you know, he just reproduced himself.
Uh-huh. So he looks exactly like his father.
But if I was not that lucky or that fortunate, in fact, it doesn't just look like the father, it looks like all the uncles, or because my husband's family, they have this, if I would say a big job, the
strong genes.
Like, so. So there are some days you look at him, he's looking like one uncle. There are some days you look at him, he's looking like the grandfather. You know, so it's just them. I don't think he has anything about me. Maybe my behavior, but physically, he's like them. So, you know, people say these insensitive things. Then you say, you know, people come and tell you, hey, you know, like when I hadn't had a child, they'll say, any big uncle, you know, kill you.
What does that mean for those that don't understand?
You say that you that has one child, you are better than he that has none.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've moved from that to now, okay, what if something that happens to the one in your hand? You know, they begin to say things and you just begin to wonder. And, you know, for me, even me, like recently my sister had a baby recently. So September,
oh, congratulations. She was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had had one. So this was her second child. You know, I actually wanted her to have another baby because I have one. She had one. So it was looking, you know, where we come from is people are very superstitious. I'm sure my mom was already thinking, yeah, will my children have just one children?
All right, so they thought it was something something that everyone was going to have the same situation.
Thank you. So immediately my sister got pregnant again. I was happy, but I was also very sad because this was something I wanted for my child. Now my son is 7 years old. You know, then another thing with secondary infertility is that there's a lot of things you grieve over. You lose a lot. Like now my son is 7. At times I'm like, I'm 40 now, and this is what we are in. We are in June. Even if I get pregnant as I speak, I'm going to have that child at the age of 41. My son will almost be 8. What will the bond be like? What will the friendship be like? You know, you are looking at that thing from the child, from the eyes of your child. Like recently, my son had a baby. My husband's brother, his wife had a second baby. You know, there was just a lot of baby fever around us. Right. And we went to see this 2 weeks, 2 Sundays ago, we went to see the baby as he came back from the hospital. And my son said to me, see now, Shiji is the older child of that lady. He said, see now, Shiji has a brother to play with. I'm all alone.
Oh, that was very sad to hear.
Yes, it's very, very sad to hear. But at the same time, another time I may cry. You know, sometimes I see people that maybe we are trying to have another baby together and they get pregnant. I actually cry. I'm not telling you, in as much as I'm at the place of I have one and I'm done, that sometimes that is actually very painful because getting to that place is not easy. Getting to that, like, there's this lady that is trending on YouTube, Instagram, everywhere. So I think I sent it to you, something, Beauty with Christy. She waited 15 years to get pregnant. She's pregnant now. And you know, she said she had got it in the past 7 years, she had decided that she was going to be child free.
Right. When just because it wasn't happening?
Yes. For me now, I'd gotten to the point where I was okay with one and I was fine. But that does not mean, or that did not mean, that when I hear someone have another child, somebody that I believe that, okay, we are waiting together, we are in this secondary infertility boat together, and the person goes on to have another child, I don't feel bad. I feel bad. Sometimes I cry, depends on my mood, my emotions. Some days I cry. Some days I'm all alone and I actually just break down and I'm like, God, why? When I saw my future, I saw 2 boys and a girl. That was what I saw. In fact, sometimes I look at it, like I'll find myself looking like, my marriage is 12 years. I should have an 11-year-old. I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me. There are some days, at least, even if nothing, I should have, okay, let me even break down. I should have a 10-year-old. I should have a 10-year-old, but I'm not God. That's another thing. That's where faith comes in. You know, you just look at it and, you know, let me just thank God. It's not even just about let me thank God. I am grateful. Right. Because my house now, we own our own house. Mm-hmm. Just imagine this house, nobody here. You know, that's what my mom is always saying. Because when my sister gave birth to, it was, you know, and at times when you're in that boat, people's reaction to you, they may not think of it like that, but you read meanings into it. Right. You read meanings into what people do, what people say. Like now, my family, everybody wanted to have children, had children. So at times, they don't understand when, you know, things like now, I hate it when people tell me, Iria Kari.
Iria Kari, okay. And that again is in Yoruba, for those that don't understand, yes.
Yes, for people that don't understand, it means the joy will go around.
The joy will go around. The happiness will go around. Okay.
For how long has this joy eluded me that you're now saying this joy will go around? Please, can you keep that joy to yourself?
Right.
You know, it's just these are raw emotions that people, sound like my mom, she had 4 children as she wanted. My sister, in fact, my sister named her daughter Boluwa Tife, meaning that she wasn't even ready. Because I asked her, she said she wasn't ready. It just came. Imagine. And I am ready. Yeah. So it's just, very somehow. At times I look as if I've had family members that, you know, had their baby together, the next day they died.
They had
They had a baby.
Okay.
Pressure in pregnancy.
Oh. So they died the next day?
So, you know, yeah. I have two people like that. You know, so at times you now look at it that is God saving me from bigger problems? Is God, you know, you have to, at times I've begun to have to look at the bigger picture. I've had to begin to look at, you know, God, you must have a reason for this pain. I can't just understand why you would pick me out and suffer this and make me go through this. So a lot of, you know, there are a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of, so like, you know, personally, I felt I was already, I'd gotten to the one and done, I was okay. Out of left wing, my husband just woke up, just in this, you know, and said, okay, he wants to try IVF.
And this recently?
This COVID, maybe being at home or the baby fever everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's baffled me. In fact, I broke down in tears out of anger. Another person would have been happy, like, oh, my husband wants to try IVF. Oh, let's go, let's go. I'm not in the let's go.
Why do you think that's the case?
I told myself, because maybe I'm guiding against heartbreak again. Maybe we'll do the IVF, it will not work. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are so many surgeries, because like now I have scarring.
Yeah, she mentioned fibroids, right.
The doctors are saying the hydrosulfing is embryotoxic. You may have to remove the embryo, the tubes. That's another surgery. The tubes.
Yeah.
You may have to remove the tubes. So surgery is not funny. It's not something that you just walk into and say, okay, just open me up, I'm ready. It takes a lot of mental work.
Of course.
It takes a lot of mental work. I'm the one that's going to go under the knife. Okay, if I now go under the knife, I asked the doctor now. He said, okay, after doing all these corrective surgeries, we'll have another 3 months to wait before
another,
we can go ahead with me.
Sorry, 3 months to wait after the surgery before you can go ahead
before you can go ahead with anything.
The IVF went down.
The womb will heal. Everything will be okay there before you probably try. You know, when you look at everything, after you look at it, that is it not better? I just maybe look at the costs and maybe have a gestational carrier if I can afford it.
Okay. So that's something you also, you know, might consider.
Yeah, I'm also, you know, everything still boils down to money.
Yes, it does.
Because surrogacy, I've asked before, surrogacy, when at least that day that I asked, as I don't know if it's cheap, getting cheaper. But that I asked, they were telling me almost 5 million.
And that was when?
I think I asked like 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Maybe one of them, yeah, like 2 years ago. So I don't know if it's getting cheaper or more expensive.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's getting cheaper. We'll hope it'll get cheaper, but
I'm not sure that any of these things ever get
cheaper.
What is the guarantee that after doing all of this, I'm going to get to the other side with a baby in arm?
It's unfortunate that we think
these are the kind of things that I am thinking. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, so these are the things. This is not talking about the impact of the hormones on your body. It's not talking about the impact of the hormones on your brain. It's not talking about the impact of your emotional well-being.
Right.
These are things that people don't put into consideration. They're just thinking, okay, the person just needs to do IVF and it's going to just come out, you know. Even if the person comes on the other side with a baby, it's not easy. It's still not very, very, very easy. I don't know. So for me, we need to, you know, speak more about infertility. We have to speak more about the impact. We have to tell more truths. You see people coming out, they'll say they are 50-something. Yes, they used to know it. They used to know KC. They are not telling the truth. They are making other people feel inadequate.
Right.
They are making a lot of other people feel inadequate. Tell your story. It's not compulsory you come out and tell it all. But, you know, even anonymously, it will help someone else.
Yes, and you're right that we should have more awareness. And I noted earlier when I said, of course, to the fact that people said a lot of not very ignorant and insensitive statements to you, even after having one child. And I couldn't believe some of them that you said, because I just, you know, sometimes when we say this kind of statements, don't say this to a person that is trying to conceive, or in your case now, don't say this to someone that is struggling to have another child. You know, people always say things as a defense, well, it's because they don't know what to say. But sometimes I wonder, is it really because you don't know what to say? Because some of these things are quite hurtful. So I'm sure you know that's a painful thing to say to somebody, you know? So, but again, like you said, raising awareness is very important. And with the 50-year-olds you noted, or 60-year-olds, like you said, it's a good idea for them to let people know. But I think sometimes also because of the society, people don't want to talk, right? They don't want to say if they use a donor egg or donor sperm or whatever the case may be. They don't want to say that's what they did, because then people might judge them. People might say, well, maybe it's not really your child.
Yes,
you know, people are very ignorant-minded, more forgiving, and raise more awareness about infertility, primary infertility, secondary infertility, and also raise awareness about the fact that there are many options available to people if they choose to go that way, that route. So if they want to use donor eggs, that's fine. If they want to use donor sperm, if they want to adopt an embryo, if they want to adopt a child, if they want to go through surrogacy, or whatever other option they might want to consider that is legal. There are options for them, but we need to raise more awareness so people know what options are available. And then also, yes, I think it's also important, I'm sure in other societies they have maybe similar issues, but I think in Nigeria for sure, we do need to let people be more sensitive and aware of the statements that are being made to people sometimes. Again, sometimes people say it's made out of, they're trying to help or trying to be supportive, but in many cases, they do make some statements that are quite insensitive and painful.
People make, you know, the most insensitive statements, even your family members. Yeah. They make statements that, you know, they might not see as a big deal, but it is a big deal.
It is. You know? It is. And like you said, people don't understand secondary infertility. Again, even within the trying to conceive community, the TTC community, many times I feel that people that already have a child and experience secondary infertility, sometimes people look at you like, well, why are you really complaining? Do you know what I mean? Like, you already have a child and, you know.
In fact, that is the main thing, because even in the people in the community, your own very community,
the TTC community,
don't understand. Yeah. Even your own community. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, like, okay, some people go on to have twins. They've gone from not having to mother of many.
To having, yes, to having two or three or.
Mm-hmm. You know? So I think it's just a matter of I've seen people, I think I had a friend, she wanted to have three children, and she had had two. She had had a son, she had had a daughter and had a son.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on to get pregnant and lost her pregnancy. You would think she was, it wasn't, I won't say miscarriage is not a pregnant, but you know, she went berserk. Did I understand? Yes, I understood. But what I'm trying to bring out of this is that this was someone that already had the two sexes. It wasn't as if she was a boy, she was a girl. No. She had had two kids. This is now, in fact, will I say tertiary infertility? Because she wanted that third baby so bad, you would think it was you would think she just got married.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. Like, everybody has a, you know, like, whatever your desires are, your wants.
So it was her desire. I understood. But, you know, another person, maybe another friend might have said, are you okay? Are you, you know, but, you know, she took it really, really, really bad. Now she has her three kids. Now she has, like, now even my sister, looking at my sister, you know, when she announced her baby you know, my heart is fuller, my joy is now complete. You know, when I see things like that, I'm like, wait, that my joy is complete. Oh God. But the issue of that is that they are saying it how they want it. You know, funny enough, that's exactly how I felt. So she, you know, she was like, my heart is now fuller, my joy is now complete. I just said quiet. I just said to her. I just clicked like, and I moved on. I didn't comment. So like you would understand what I'm feeling. I'm sure you do. She won't. Mm-hmm. You know, that statement alone, I felt very inadequate.
Right. And that's the thing about infertility. It does that to you. Makes you feel like...
I felt very... I won't say like a failure, but I felt really bad. In fact, I sat down on that statement for like 5 minutes and I was staring.
Mm-hmm. And well said to her, right? That to her, she figured, you know, having that additional child has made her complete. Yeah, that's what she wanted, exactly.
So, you know, yes. Yeah. So why you not tell me like I cannot want it?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not telling me that I should not want it? I cannot want it. I should not be able to say my joy is complete. My heart is full and my joy is not complete.
Yeah.
You know, so, but for me, when that statement triggered, it triggered emotions that, if not that I am, over time, I've learned to, you know, just go through the motions. It made me feel really bad. But she didn't intend to make me feel bad. That was not her intention. She was just saying how she felt.
Based on her own experience.
She was just saying, based on her own experience, based on what she wanted, maybe, you know, in her house, she and her husband had planned, they wanted 2 kids, a boy and a girl, and now it's complete. So they are complete. They are family of 4. Hey, they're fine.
Right.
You know, but for me, it really took me to a place I didn't like. But I had to get myself out of that place and bring myself back by myself.
Right.
By myself, you know, so we have to, you know, that sometimes, you know, people just make funny, you know, even when it comes to maybe sharing of things, you know, the way they will share the things, you know, people that have 2 children, they will share their own, you know, just even the most mundane things can actually set you off. So I think we need to work on ourselves and realize that not everybody's statement is for you or against you. Not everybody's statement is for you to dwell on. You cannot you cannot fight every dog that barks at you on your way to the market. I think it's saying like that. So you just
choose your battles.
Yes, choose your battles. And I believe that those kind of battles, you and your husband and your God, if you have intrusive in-laws, have a way to deal with them. I had to deal with that's even another story for another day. The way I had to deal. My in-laws were not really in my face. They were not in my face. But you know, there's just this, you just have this subtle underlining ripple, those little ripples.
Little comments that people can make.
Yes. So it made me withdraw from them. And that withdrawal has affected us because now that I have my son, I've not been able to go back to that place where we were before.
Yes, sometimes that can do that to the relationships. And even with friends, sometimes people end up losing those friends forever.
I'm beginning to like, there's this Nigerian lady who is saying that she has chosen to, is it not to marry or not to have children? One of the two, I can't remember, she's a young lawyer. She has chosen, she said, I don't want to have children. Not everybody is meant to be a mother. I can mother people from a distance, but I don't want to mother anybody personally.
And that's her right. You know, she has the right to.
You know, so we have to get to that point. So for me and my friends, you know, at times when they see, and in fact, sort of they're even drawing inspiration from me, because also like me now, I'm beginning to sort of advocate for younger people. Freeze your eggs. If you know you
yes, freeze your eggs, you definitely. Know. That's something we're definitely going to talk about on another show. I freeze definitely agree we need to create more awareness about that.
I think for me, I think I've had a lot of issues with infection that I didn't even know. You know, feminine infection is not for some people get clear signs, some people don't get clear signs. So, you know, I think we have to take our gynecological health very seriously.
And do
have
more
your
checks.
Pap smear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have your pap smear done. Go to the hospital, do the necessary checks and, you know, get tested for PID, chlamydia on a regular. Try and, you know, these are things that people, we don't talk about. We don't, you know, we just assume that you're married, go in your bedroom, come out with a big baby in 9 months,
right,
have your children.
Well said. I definitely agree. We need to create more awareness about that, about egg freezing, about testing, about, you know, going to the doctor and making sure everything is fine, doing lots of checks and making sure there's no infection. Even some cases, infection is not necessarily sexually transmitted. It could be infections even from people that do surgeries that might not have been done properly.
Exactly. When I was 21, I had ovarian cyst, so I had surgery. When I was 14, I did appendicitis because they didn't think I was old enough to have ovarian cysts, but it was actually ovarian cysts worrying me at the time, but they removed my appendix.
Wow.
I had my ovarian cysts removed when I was 21. I had fibroids removed when I was 38. You know, so I've had multiple surgeries. So that in and out of that region has done more harm than good. You know, there's no more harm than good. In fact, the doctor I'm seeing recently was talking about a doctor of his, a senior doctor of his that he studied under, that the man, whenever he's doing, is it appendicitis, he will check if the woman has cysts. And when the woman has cysts, he will just remove the whole ovary. Just imagine.
The whole ovary?
In fact, when he's, yes, without, you know, this was years ago. Imagine how many women he has rendered. He was just, you know, he was just talking. He was just, you know, it was later when he became a senior doctor, he realized the harm the man was doing. He said he would just remove the whole ovary.
Oh, that's terrible.
Imagine if it was bilateral. So he would just remove the two ovaries. Is it that the person did not know that the woman would try and have babies?
Wow. So many things people need to be aware of, definitely. And, you've definitely touched a lot of things and definitely to increase awareness and even just let people know how to advocate for yourself as well. So that's very important.
You've really touched a lot of
areas, and that's really unfortunate with that doctor. I hope things like that have stopped now. It's ridiculous how you have no idea what's been done inside you. You just hope that they're doing what they should be doing and not complicating things for you. Yeah.
So,
you're not sure. You're touching so many aspects there. So thank you so much for that. It's been really informative. So now knowing what I know you talked about that a little bit now, but if you're going to talk to your younger self, knowing what you know now, one piece of advice that you give yourself to have done differently before you got married and you're much younger. I know you mentioned egg freezing, so I'm not sure
Where I would start from is, as much as possible, take your sexual health very seriously. A lot of people don't do that. We are not, in fact, in our generation, I was born in 1980. Our parents never spoke to us about sex. My mom never sat me down like this and said, this is what they do. And this is how it's done.
Were you just told you're going to get pregnant if a man touches you? Like literally, I was told, if you move too close to a man, you're going to get pregnant. And I ran away.
Your mom even tried. My mom never said anything like that. The only thing where she said when I turned 18 was, if you get pregnant, bring the baby, I'll cry the baby.
Right, so basically telling you that do not abort. If you get pregnant, just bring the baby home. Right,
okay. Just bring the baby. That was the only thing my mom said. That was the only thing. And I think someone we knew contracted HIV. Is it contacted or contracted? I'm not sure.
Right, exactly,
HIV. So she wrote a letter to me in university then, be careful. Don't, you know, as much as possible, don't do anything with anybody. You know, so for me, if I was going to talk to my younger self, take your sexual health very seriously. For some people will say, well, I have a friend. She married as a virgin, busy married in 2006. To date, she doesn't have a baby. So it's not about virginity. So I'm not here to judge anybody. It's not my business. Mm-hmm. So it's not because you were sexually permissive or whatever, but just take, you know, the same way you would buy soap for your skin to look good, try and put money together for, you know, your sexual health. Go and see a doctor, you know, take your Cervarix by the time you are most, I always tell parents, I don't know why, at the age of 9, girls should be vaccinated. Even boys can take Cervarix.
Cervarix being the vaccine for...
Yes. Because Cervarix HPV helps with some strains, HPV, with some strains of cancer. It does that, you know, have them vaccinated. Then when they are sexually active, maybe from the age of 18, let them, is it, I think for cervical check is every 3 years, or every 2 years, I'm not sure. Get that done. Check in, you know, the differences in your discharge. So many, in fact, it wasn't until recently I realized that there's something called vulva cancer. I never knew.
We should be educating young people to be more aware of what could potentially be happening down there, and just letting them be empowered.
Because really, if you have cervical cancer, having a baby will be the last thing in mind. Hmm. You know, so your health is important first before you even, because right now, if any major health concern comes up, having a baby becomes secondary.
Right, the focus shifts to your health.
Yes, to your health. So take good care of yourself.
Well said.
Take good care of yourself.
That's all.
What needs to be done.
Okay. And as a wrap up, are there any words of encouragement or hope for other couples dealing with infertility? Now, I appreciate, of course, you're dealing with secondary infertility. So perhaps I'm not sure if that's what you want to focus it on, or just a word of encouragement to anyone dealing with infertility.
I think everybody should learn to be kinder to people. Regardless, infertility, you're fertile, you're infertile, you're healthy, you're not healthy. You know, we need to try and be kind to people. There are people battling different things. Just like I mentioned just earlier now, imagine there are some people that the journey started as fertility, and it ended up being maybe them having cancer, them having some other disease that they did not even think about when they started that journey. So they have to place the baby making at the back burner for them to get better. Not everybody, like me, I'm very open. I can say, my mom always tells me, you know, I'm not really, it's not as if maybe I can't keep a secret, but when it comes to my struggles and my journey, I am open. For you to advocate for something, you have to be able to speak about it. So people who are shy and secretive may not be advocates. They may be secret advocates, maybe anonymous advocates. But right. For me, I think it's very important to have your own circle of friends. Like me, my friends are very important to me. My circle of friends, trusted people you can speak to when you are down, people that can encourage you. And your mental health is important.
Yes.
We always underestimate the place of mental health. Mental health is very important. Some days, something like me, I'm a feeler. So when things around me is down, frightening, I act out. I become clingy. I become paranoid. And people don't like to speak about things like this. Everybody wants to think that they are fine. No, I'm not fine. Please leave me. I want to speak with my son. You know, this past week, we lost someone very important to the nation. Everybody knew that. And when I heard that day, my instinct was to just hold on to my son. I pulled him out of his room, and for a week he has been sleeping with me. Now I'm finding it difficult to move him back to his room. I just wanted to hold on to him. That was how I react. That was my reaction to what happened. I cried. like I knew her, but I didn't. But that was my reaction. I just wanted to hold on to my son because I just felt, God, wow.
Yeah, that could have happened to anybody, right? Yeah.
It's kind of cheating. She can't get to hold her children anymore. They can't, you know, she can't hug them, she can't hold them, she can't feel the warm blood running through their veins. Bring me my son. You know, so we react differently. For some other person, can we just go through the emotions? I don't know how that's their business, you know, but we are all different. So our mental health is important, our sexual health is important, every form of health is important. Even our spiritual health is important. So whatever you hold dear as God, hold on to it. Have faith. And there's nothing he cannot do. I don't know about people who are atheists. I don't know how you guys do it. But I just want to, I just know that he has stepped in for me more times than normal. Right. And I know that he will still do it.
Amen.
So, so let's just, you know, that's just this. Let's just hold on to that faith, hold on to our sanity, hold on to our health, hold on to as much as we can. You know, as much as it's in our control, it's supposed to. And we know that every other thing is out of our control, let's leave it.
Thank you so much. That's really amazing. You've noticed so many great points in ensuring our spiritual health is fine, our physical health, our sexual health, making sure we focus on all of those things and keeping them as a priority. Because like you said, if there's anything wrong with any aspect of the health, we will basically switch the focus to repairing that and baby making comes on the back burner for that time. So thank you so much. This has been a really amazing interview. Listening to everything you've said, you've shared so much wisdom. So thank you so much, Ajike, for coming on the show today and for sharing your story
and your pain and sharing, and also
definitely increasing love and awareness about the secondary infertility, because again, like you said, many people don't understand it. And we need to understand, we need to create more awareness and let people be able to discuss whatever their pain is without being judged by the society.
Yes.
Yes. So I really appreciate your coming today. And anyone looking to connect with Ajike, that you want to talk to her more, you can always find her on Instagram. She's very active. At Naija Stay at Home Mom, and her details would also be in the show notes. So thank you, Ajike, and do have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much. You too. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Fertility Conversations podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Fertility Conversations. If there are any topics you would like to have discussed, please send an email to fertilityconversations@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. Thank you again for listening. Take care of yourself and do stay hopeful.